Well, I'd like to bring the meeting to order. And I'd like to thank all of you here in New York and in Rochester and in Albany for coming to meeting sites so that we can have our board meeting. We do have important business, particularly with regard to the postdoctoral fellowships that we have to decide upon. As a reminder, the meetings are recorded, and the recording should be available on the Department of Health website about 3 days after this meeting, 3 business days after this meeting next week. So we have a full agenda. Let's try to be as efficient as possible. So for those of us on the board, it's important to speak clearly into the closest microphone, to try to speak one at a time. I know that can be difficult at times. And to limit side conversations and paper ruffling. And finally, to state your name before making or seconding a motion. So the next thing we're going to do, this is all gone? Is
that a problem? Yeah, Janine's going
to. Okay. Okay. So once Janine gets us back online here, So just so that everybody knows, we have 2 external sites. We have Keith in Albany, as he usually is, and we have Gary Page in Rochester. Gary is on our left, and Keith must be in the middle there, but I can't really see. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to ask everybody to introduce themselves, and we'll start with Gary in Rochester. So, Gary.
Hi, how are you, everybody?
Yeah.
Sorry not to be there. You know how I feel about being there in prison. Unfortunately, not this time. There are a variety of reasons. But in any case, I am in Rochester. I'm at my office, and greetings to all. By the way, Janine, now I can't hear you folks as well as I could a moment ago. I don't know what the last adjustment was, but it's a little softer listening.
Okay. Nobody's saying anything at that time.
I can barely hear you.
Oh, okay.
Say again, speak up.
All right, can you hear me now better?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, you'll have to imagine.
We can't hear you that well either.
Okay.
Is it being... Sorry, I turned the screen around.
I can see and hear you pretty well.
Yeah. So maybe the problem is the microphone. Can you hear me now?
It's pretty soft. I mean, I can hear you.
Okay.
You can barely hear you too.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Can you hear us? I think the microphone in New York might have been again.
Well, the only microphone.
I can increase the volume on my screen, and I can hear you better now.
Okay.
Good.
All right. We'll try to do that in Albany too. Okay. So, Gary, I think you introduced yourself to your satisfaction.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
What did that mean?
Well, that's up to you, really. All right, can we have introductions from the Albany people? Keith, why don't you start?
Yes, this is Keith Berrigan, member of the board, final credit for the provider, and
okay, are there others in Albany that would like to introduce themselves?
Terry Alfienzo, I'm with DOH.
Okay.
Jonathan Carmel, also with DOH. Brian Rourke, DOH.
Okay. All right, so thank you in Albany. So we'll now, in New York, we'll start with Tom over here.
Thomas Price from Mount Sinai.
Adam, I guess somebody's away right now. Yeah.
Fraser, yeah.
Yeah.
Adam Stein, School of Medicine at Hofstra Northwell.
Don Faber, Albert Einstein in the Bronx.
Lauren Mendel from Stony Brook. I left you out, I'm sorry.
Vicki Derbyshire, Wadsworth Center. Andrea Garavelli, Wadsworth Center.
Janine Tush, Wadsworth Center.
Carly Van Patten, Wadsworth Center.
Bernice Grafstein, Wild Cornell, New York.
And Chris Ragnos from Mount Sinai, New York.
Nancy Lieberman.
Okay. All right, so. Good, good. Okay, so we all know who we are now, and so let's go on with our business. So the board members, you should have all received today's exhibits to be discussed. We're going to receive a program update from the Department of Health. We'll review future RFAs, the ones that are to come next. And most importantly, we'll consider applications for funding of the individual pre-doctoral and postdoctoral fellowships in spinal cord injury. This is round four. Okay. So let's first of all consider the minutes, and I hope you've all reviewed the minutes from the meeting of October 15th, 2018. We met here in New York and in Albany at the time. Fraser, do you want to introduce yourself? You missed the chance.
Fraser Sims, SUNY Buffalo.
Okay, thank you. Minutes. Are there any comments about the minutes? Okay.
Move to approve.
Yeah, okay. So that's Adam, move to approve.
Don, second.
Don Faber, second. Okay. I assume there's no discussion because there was no discussion. Okay, now we have to go through this roll call, and I apologize for that. Okay, so we'll start in Rochester. Gary?
Yes.
Okay, approve. Okay, Keith? Okay, thank you. Tom?
Yes.
Fraser, yes.
Adam, yes.
Don, yes.
Lauren, yes.
Keith, yes.
Yes.
Okay, so the minutes have now been approved. So the next thing on my list here is the symposium survey results. So as you all know, and most of you participated in, we had the symposium right after the last meeting. We had, 150 people or something that attended? Maybe one of you wants to bring us.
137? Yeah, 137.
It was held at Rockefeller University, and I thought it was very well run. I want to thank the staff because this was really a staff effort, particularly Andrea and Janine, who really did a great job getting everything organized. My job was to simply invite all the participants. And after that, they took over, and I had very little to do, and I really appreciate that. That's usually the hardest part, is all the nuts and bolts that, you know, go into organizing a meeting and all the care and feeding of the participants. And you really did a great job.
Thanks, Lord.
And we all, as a board, really appreciate that. So I'd like to thank you. So
thank you.
We'll give you a
feeling tremendous.
Good.
I was very excited about everything.
Yeah. I mean, I thought
it opened it up like to more people like me and not just scientists to be in the audience to hear some of it.
Well, it might be a worthwhile thing. I mean, I'm not suggesting we do it, but we might actually try to have a meeting of that sort, but maybe not so soon. Okay. There is an answer to a questionnaire that we have here. I looked through it briefly. I just saw it a few minutes ago. Basically, people really liked it. Most of the comments were very laudatory. There were a few things they didn't like. Some of them we really couldn't do much about. Like, we really didn't have room in that place to make the aisles wider for the posters. There was just nothing we could do about that. On the other hand, I still think it was successful. The one thing that was interesting, there is a comment here on the last page, I believe, or near the last page, that They were asked for specifics about what they didn't like, and they would have, here it is on page, question three, what did you dislike? Space for posters was small and that kind of stuff. The early morning commute, well, you know, we can't do much about that, I suppose. Early poster session, no dinner for all participants, and that might have been nice to arrange. I mean, there was wonder, the food was wonderful.
It was.
And people did, they had to stand largely, but yeah, it was finger food. It, I thought, was terrific, and people could do that together. And actually, it might have been better than a real sit-down dinner, where people would have been next, talk to the person next to them, but that would be about all. The only other thing they complained about, which maybe we should have had a formal session for, although I don't think it would have been successful, is not enough time with board members. Now, we were there. People could have commented, and we did hear. I certainly met some people who came and talked to me. In fact, there's one of our applications from one of those people. But frankly, I think if we had had a real sit-down session, it would have been a lot of complaints, and we, you know, perfectly legitimate complaints, but you can't satisfy everybody all the time. So I think basically it went very well. And I was very pleased. I remember walking out feeling that we had really done a good job. And I want to thank all of you for coming and for participating in many cases. And I think
maybe we should have been identified with some kind of color.
Yeah, with a little ribbon like the society does. Yeah, I always feel like
there was a ribbon under our name tag.
That's our board member, right?
Yeah.
It did?
Yes.
I'd forgotten. Okay. Well, at the Society for Neuroscience, Bernice and I both know this, you get a little ribbon, and you sort of feel like you've been entered in a competition for some four-footed animal. But anyway, it was fine, I think.
I have a question. Look at this list where they come up with, what did you dislike? Like, I'm seeing a listing, but I don't have any sense of how common a given comment was.
Well, that's right. There are no statistics.
Was it just a one-off?
I know our response rate was low.
In those questions?
Yes.
In the whole survey.
So the response rate was low, suggesting that not too many, it didn't rise to the level of it didn't rise to a threshold that they had to get it off their chest for many people, I
but
guess.
Some of these may be comments that only one person.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
These are just written.
But I mean, you know, it's worth looking at them. Not going to do much about it. Yeah.
Can I ask one question more?
Yeah.
The very last page, you had a total participants by the numbers, and it's 7 states. Now, I see New York. But I'm looking at the list of actual institutions, and the only out-of-state institution represented, you know, sitting, I gather, in the audience, was from Washington University in St. Louis, which is Missouri, and it's not on the list of 7 states, and New Jersey, because of someone from Rutgers. But where Pennsylvania,
Drexel.
Massachusetts, Maryland, I just don't understand. Oh.
Drexel University, number 8.
Okay.
Yeah, my guess is that Illinois? The 7 states are people that had actual attendees, whereas the universities were maybe people that were identified as authors that didn't as you know, one of many authors, not all of whom came to the meeting. So people from close by would have come, but people that, let's say, were in other states but contributed to the research and were acknowledged as such.
But we can review and yep. follow up and send a note to be sure.
I think some people also were, they might live in California, so they had their address was California, but they work in
We'll take a look.
Yeah. So the other thing is, for future seminars like this, you know, clearly there was a very heavy concentration of New York State people. And given, I think, what we heard with the level of speakers, and again, I don't know, you did a wonderful job, but it would be wonderful if we could get make this, is there any way to make it so you attract people to come from other venues, maybe even internationally? So I don't know how well publicized this was outside of New York, but it would be nice, you know, to have more of a
right. I mean,
it may be worthwhile to have, you know, like the speakers. You know, we have a speaker from Vancouver, also from stuff which aren't listed here.
Yeah,
just kind of demonstrate the global or.
I mean, we were fortunate. We had the way the finances worked, which I have to again compliment the staff because they really. I was always worried about this, and they kept reassuring me. That we would be okay, and we were, in fact, as far as I know. No one asked me for a contribution. The outside speakers, six or seven outside speakers, that I viewed as a terrific opportunity to bring people in to see what we were doing, for our people to meet with international types and possibly set up collaborations or at least know who people are. I mean, in our business, it's really important to be connected. You know, you got to know people so that you don't feel funny about calling them up or emailing them up to ask them about something or to ask for something. And I think this was really quite valuable in that regard. And there were certainly some internationally recognized speakers among our group who spoke. I mean, there were some from Rochester, from all over, Rochester, from Albany, from the city, and so on. And so it, I think, was very successful from that perspective. I mean, we won't really know the true outcome of this, but I think people felt that they enjoyed it. I'm not sure we should do this every year, but it might not be such a bad idea to think about it for, let's say, 3 years from now when people have new data, when we've turned people over a little bit. I think if you do this too often with such a concentrated bunch of people that are the normal presenters, I think then it would get pretty boring pretty quickly and people would stop coming, and that would be terrible.
Nothing
concerning. Yes, Gary. Yeah, I hear you. Gary, go ahead.
I couldn't agree more about the three-year thing. We talked about that before and long ago, and we were talking about this last one. But there is an alternative to the interim years. I wonder if anyone considered for, you know, STIR-related people to propose symposia at the Society for Neuroscience meeting, in which case you have your national people from all over the place enjoying the scenario.
Well, I mean, people could do that. Are you suggesting that we somehow sponsor that, or are you suggesting that?
No. Just to encourage a group of our folks with something to say in a symposium format to go there, maybe invite some other people to join and do an afternoon.
So do it as a satellite, you mean?
Either a satellite or as a symposium. There are these different levels of symposium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to suggest something else in relation to that meeting, and that is just.
Can you talk into your thing, your microphone?
I want to suggest something else in relation to that meeting, and that is somehow to create more presence at the spinal cord injury social.
In at social, the neuroscience meeting.
Yes, somehow. I don't know, you know, you'd have to make contact. You know who.
Yeah, I haven't been in a
somehow,
while, but yeah.
Somehow, I don't know, just somehow.
Right, so there are these evening socials that take place that for the different interest groups. And what Bernice is referring to is a spinal cord, I don't know if it's a spinal cord injury or just a spinal cord.
Spinal cord injury.
Yeah. We might be able to publicize that and perhaps to participate in that right.
Are you talking about that in terms of SFN?
Yeah, SFN, right.
One other thing to consider is, you know, we have, you know, for all these different RFAs, you know, these panels of reviewers that kind of go through that, all that these panels of reviewers who go through that, and I don't know if there are some consistency between those panels, but it'd be worthwhile to invite them or about them in some form.
They were all invited.
Yeah. Okay. So I think it was a success. Obviously, we could think about doing other things in the future to make it even more of a success, because it's never the best, it's always just simply very good. Okay, so let's go on. So now we're at a time where we're going to consider applications for funding of the fellowships. So this is round four. So while we're in public session, there will be recusals that will be made for several applications, and we can only talk about global processes and generalities because we're in public session. So Andrea, why don't you bring us, sort of give us our instructions.
Yes. So the predoctoral and postdoctoral fellowships in spinal cord injury research, RFA, was issued on June 13th, 2018. Applicants were given a period of approximately 7 weeks to prepare and submit their applications. We received 12. By the July 30th due date, all 12 applications passed the administrative review, and peer review of these applications took place on October 11th. All applications were scored on a scale of 1 to 9, and they're listed in score order and displayed on Exhibit 2, Tab 3 in your binders. Scoring ties were resolved using the score for the fellow and development plan among those applications having a tie, and they're indicated with an asterisk. This criterion measures the fellow's record of research, potential to become an outstanding independent investigator, and the PI sponsor's letter of support. So the SCRB may vote in favor or against any application submitted for funding. The RFA made $1.5 million available to fund approximately 6 awards. Contracts are expected to begin August 1st, 2019 for a 3-year term. And if you choose to not recommend an application for funding, we'll need to justify that in writing. Please note that please note that if you recommend the top 9 scoring applications, funding of $1.54 million would be programmed through 2022. If you recommend the top 9 applications, funding of $1.5 million would be programmed through fiscal year 2022 to 2023. The RFA states that the SCRB may elect at its discretion to continue making recommendations for possible funding proposals beyond what is available for the funding mechanism of the RFA. That way, if there are declinations, other meritorious approved but not funded applications could become recommended awards for funding. Are there any questions?
I'm confused. You said 6 and then you said 9.
Well, when the RFA was written, we do the highest if it was postdoctoral. So if we had 6 postdoc applications with the maximum budget and they scored 6. But the way it worked out is there's pre-docs and the funding.
They had less funding, so they weren't able to offer more.
Correct. So we don't know when the RFA. Okay.
Totally understand.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you, Andrea. So. So what Andrea just told us is that if we were to recommend the top 9, we would commit $1.54 million through 2022/23. Okay. So now we are finished. We can no longer discuss anything in public session. We now have to go into executive session for the purpose of discussing the peer review results. So anybody who is not part of the consideration or is a member of the public should now.
Hey,
yeah? So it's time to go. We are going into executive session. So anybody who is a member of the public.
This meeting is being recorded.
Okay, thank you. If there's any member of the public, please leave the room for what will probably be close to an hour, I'm guessing, while we discuss these applications. And we have to do that in executive session. I don't think there's anybody in this room that has to leave.
No.
What about in Gary? I don't think there's anybody else there. And I don't know about Albany, but are we okay in Albany? Terry?
Yeah, somebody, no one's here.
Okay, good. All right. All right, so we should turn off the recording. Okay.
All right. Okay, so we're now in public session. Okay, so we need to let our member of the public in. Okay, I'm going to read these through, and you're going to get the vote. And
all right.
If necessary, Andrea, if necessary, you're going to go around and make people vote quickly.
You want me to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Just so we're not going to do any other agenda.
I don't believe so.
Yeah.
I don't think we've got
we'll
room.
Talk about it after. Let's get this done.
So do we want to change our ticket or not?
What?
Do we still want to change the ticket? Or
can we get done in half an hour?
I think so. We go fast.
Okay, what
we've
do we
got
need?
30 minutes.
Okay, let's go.
Let's go. The first project is a pre-doctoral proposal, application number 10 from Dr. Lippman at the NYU School of Medicine.
Okay, may I have a motion to recommend this application for award? Okay, that was
Christian.
Don seconds.
Okay, Gary.
Wait a minute. You were saying order number 10 or the order number 1?
Order number 1, application number 10, Dr. Lippman.
Okay. Yes, I'm in favor.
Okay. Keith?
Yes.
Okay.
Tom?
Yes. Crazy, yes.
Adam, yes.
John, yes.
Lauren, yes.
Bernice, yes.
Christian.
Okay, good. This one's approved.
The second in the order will now vote on a postdoctoral proposal, application number 2 from Dr. Carmel at the Burke Medical Research Institute. Bernice needs to be recused.
Or Columbia.
What do I do? Did I just step?
Just step there.
I have to go out?
Yeah.
Just go out. Yeah.
Okay.
Then you do the motion.
All right. So we're now going to vote on a postdoctoral application from Dr. Carmel at the Burke Medical Research Institute. May I have a motion to recommend this application for award?
So moved. Adam.
And seconded by?
Fraser.
By Fraser. Okay.
Okay. So Gary.
Yes.
Okay. Keith.
Yes.
Tom.
Tom, yes.
Fraser.
Yes.
Adam, yes.
Don, yes.
Lauren, yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right, very good. That one is approved. So Dr. Grafstein can return.
All right, so
we're now going to vote on a pre-doctoral proposal, application number 21 from Dr. Agarwal at Columbia University.
So may I have a motion to recommend this application for award? Christian?
Seconded
by Fraser.
Okay, Gary?
Yes.
Keith?
Yes.
Tom, yes.
Okay. Adam?
Fraser?
Fraser, yes.
Yes.
Adam, yes.
Adam, yes. Don,
yes.
Yes. Lauren, yes.
Yes.
Nancy, yes.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Where did we go into trouble?
Down here.
Okay.
So we're now going to vote on application number 17, a postdoctoral proposal from Dr. Temple at Regenerative Research Foundation.
Okay. May I have a motion to recommend this application for award?
Yes.
Keith, yes. Okay. Second?
Second, Adam.
Okay, Adam, yeah. All right.
So all right. Gary?
Yes.
Keith?
Keith, yes.
Tom?
Tom, yes. Fraser, yes.
Adam, yes.
Don, yes.
Lauren, yes.
Bernice, yes.
Chris, yes.
Nancy, yes.
Okay. Next.
Okay, Dr. Bryce needs to be recused. Oh, and Dr. Ragnarsson.
Yes.
We're now going to vote on a postdoctoral proposal, application number 3, from Dr. Spungen at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. Dr. Bryce and Dr. Ragnarsson have recused themselves.
All right.
No.
No, this is Mount Sinai.
Yes.
So may I have a motion to recommend this application for award?
So moved, Don.
Okay.
Bernice, second.
All right.
All right, Gary?
No.
Okay.
Keith?
Keith, yes.
Frazee, yes.
Adam, yes.
Don, yes.
Lauren, yes.
Bernice, yes. Nancy, yes.
Okay.
Okay, so that's not seven.
Yeah.
Seven.
Okay, good. This one is approved.
All right, so the next one is a pre-doctoral proposal, application number 18 from Dr. Gilbert at RPI. May I have a motion to recommend this application for award?
So moved.
So moved.
All right, so he so moved and he seconded. Okay. All right.
All right, Gary?
Yes.
Okay, Gary's yes. Keith?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Craig,
yes.
Adam, yes.
Don, yes.
Lauren, yes.
Bernice, no.
All right.
Chris, yes.
Nancy, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
This is Kirkland.
Hey?
This is the Kirkland.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So the next one that we're going to look at is Bernice needs to recuse herself again, unfortunately.
So this is.
So we're now going to vote on a postdoctoral proposal application number 4 from Dr. Hollis at the Burke Medical Research Institute. Dr. Grafstein has recused herself.
Okay. So may I have a motion to recommend this application for award?
Okay.
Don, thank you. And a second?
Second.
Okay, Christian. All right.
All
okay.
Right, Gary?
No.
Keith?
No.
Tom, no. Frazee, no.
Adam, no.
Don, no.
Lauren, no.
Upstate.
Okay, Nancy, no.
Okay.
All right, so we'll have to have a reason, but I think it was all written down there.
Yeah, I think
yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so now Nancy
yes.
And Gary, we need to put
all right,
on
Gary,
silent.
We're going to put you on mute.
Off, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so we're now going to vote on a postdoctoral proposal, application number 20, from Dr. Burke at the University of Rochester Medical Center. Ms. Lieberman and Dr. Page have recused themselves.
Yeah.
Okay.
So may I have a motion to recommend this application for award?
So moved, Don.
Okay, Don.
Second,
Fraser. Second, Tom.
Fraser.
I think, or no, it was Fraser.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, Keith.
Yes.
Okay, Tom.
Tom, yes. Fraser, yes.
Adam, no.
Don, yes.
Lauren, yes.
Bernice, yes.
Chris, yes.
So we got it. We got seven.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, Nancy and Gary can come back. Can you click him back in?
Yep. Yeah.
All right. All right, Gary, are you back? And then
yeah, I'm here, live
Bernice,
and well.
Bernice correct. Needs to recuse herself yet again. So we're now going to vote on a postdoctoral proposal. Application number 13 from Dr. Yoshida at the Burke Medical Research Institute. Dr. Grafstein has recused herself.
Okay. So, may I have a motion to recommend this application for award?
Thank you, Tom. All right, okay.
I'll second it.
All right, Fraser. Okay, Gary?
No.
Tom, yes. Fraser, yes.
Adam, yes.
Don, no.
Lauren, abstain.
Keith, yes, by the way, sorry.
I'm sorry, Keith.
Thanks, Keith.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Hold on. No, I think it's a no because we only got five.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
What was that?
People do realize abstain is the same thing as saying no, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What was the...
That's no, that will not be funded.
Okay.
Application number 13, order of review 9.
So now we're going to do application number 11 Order of Review 10. This is a Fraser, thank you. This is a pre-doctoral proposal from Dr. Gunawardena at the University of Buffalo. Dr. Simmons refused himself.
Right. Okay. Yeah, can we have a motion to recommend this application for award? And second? All right, Tom second, okay.
All right, Gary?
No.
Keith?
Keith?
No.
Tom, no.
Adam, no.
John, no.
Lauren, no.
Bernice, no.
Chris, no.
Nancy, no.
Okay.
All right.
So we can bring Fraser back in?
Bring Fraser back in, yeah.
And now which one are we at?
Number 11.
So now we have a pre-doctoral application from, it's number 9, from Dr. Duenas at Syracuse University. Nobody's recused.
Okay.
Okay.
So do I have a motion to recommend this to this application for award? We're not there yet, are we?
No,
because we're doing all.
We're going to just do all of them.
Okay, John and Adam. All right, Gary?
No.
Keith?
Keith, no.
Tom?
Tom, no.
Adam, no.
Adam, no.
Lauren, no.
Bernice, no.
Chris, no.
Nancy, no.
Okay, great.
And now the last one, I believe.
Okay, right. We're going to now vote on a pre-doctoral fellowship from Dr. Sue at CUNY City College. It's application number 1.
All right. So do I have a motion to approve this application for award?
I'll nominate it.
Okay, thank you.
I'll second.
Okay, Adam seconds. Fraser and Adam. Okay.
All right, Gary?
No.
Keith?
No.
Tom?
Yes.
Okay.
Fraser, no.
Adam, no.
John, no.
Lauren, no.
Denise, no.
Chris, no.
Nancy, no.
Okay, so no cue.
So that's right. That.
So that's that.
Okay.
We need to give 5 minutes.
Now, what are we going to do?
We're going to just go right to public comment.
I think we're going to go straight.
Is she here?
Yeah.
So we're going to let her talk now.
The 5 minutes, and people can leave as they need to, because you don't need to vote.
All right, so here's the story. We're now finished with the formal part of our meeting.
We don't have time to address a lot of things, so Andrea will follow up with people as to how we address those other decision-making points that we were going to discuss.
Okay. Right, because it's late, and people, so there's some of you I know that have to catch planes, and you should feel free to leave as you need because we're no longer in formal session. We're in formal session, but we don't have to take any votes.
But,
I'm sorry.
But this is our public meeting, so we're going to accept 5 minutes of public comment.
So we have, what's her name again?
Right. We have a member of the public who would like to speak.
Yeah. Okay. So would you like to come and speak now? So you have 5 minutes. 5 minutes to speak. Would you like to speak? Okay, so 5 minutes.
Okay. Do we want to give her a microphone?
You can take a microphone. Here.
No, here you go. There, go.
All right, somebody should give her.
What's her name?
Norit. Did you write her name? Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. So Nurit, you've got 5 minutes, and I will tell you when your 5 minutes are up.
I sent each of you actually the summary of what I'm going to say. To begin with, and just since the issue is a little bit, it's very short, since the issue is quite serious, I'm asking you not to be limited to the 5 minutes.
Well, we can't. It's 5 minutes because we all have to leave. We're over time right now. So that's. I'm afraid that's, you know, what we allow.
Please let me read the bylaws state as follows. At least some portion of every regular board meeting should be set aside for public comment. So 5 minutes, 2.7, it's okay. I mean, it's all right. I can stop in the window, nothing happens. Just us, and that's it. What I'm bringing here with me, this is just making a case that we got this grant application of the investigator Abraham Villalani entitled Promoting the Recovery of Spinal Cord Injury Health with Microbeads, which was funded by the Spinal Cord Injury. The number is CO23679 from October 2008 to September 2010 for the amount of $343,856 was funded and should never have been funded. Not only the research is not innovative and much more disturbing, it does not have any scientific merit and was based on falsified threats and misrepresentation by the money. And it suggests that the viewers were negligent. And I'm requesting that the board investigate the matter and in the next meeting, the board meeting, I will bring the full facts with the data and all the rest. Here I'm just making very sure. So about spinal cord injury. Data that were published for the application was submitted in 2008. Data related to the effects of oscillation with spinal cord injury were generated from 1990 until 2009. And it provided proof of principle that spinal cord injury can be treated using conventional clinical procedures. Now, to explain, CNS contains neurons, glia, and blood vessels. And when there is an injury, the damage that is caused, the pathological damage that is caused to the spinal cord is because the blood vessels are injured. And when there are any repair processes that occur are due to cell division. So whenever you have an injury, the tissue has a tendency to repair itself, including the blood vessels. But apparently, with the CNS, there are some events that occur due to cell division, which result in pathology and never occur. Now, when there is cell division, usually the high rate, there is a high rate of cell division in comparison to the normal. In cancer therapy, the treatment which is used to treat cancer cells is because tumor cells divide much more in higher rate in comparison to the normal patients. So there are two methods of approaching.
So, Dr. Calderon, look, I know that you have a lot to say here, but we just don't have the time in this kind of a setting to hear what sounds like is beginning to be a seminar.
No, it's not a seminar.
Well, but I mean, it's very detailed. There are many people sitting in this room, who are lay people who don't really, I mean, some of us are scientists, some of us are not scientists. And we're already over time. We were supposed to be here till 4. So I've given you 5 minutes, and it doesn't sound like you've really started yet, except
no, I'm actually finished.
Oh, well,
I'm
wonderful.
Almost finished.
Yeah.
I'm just explaining the principle of use of deletion of cells, of dividing cells. So there are two methods. One is irradiation, which is focused on a certain area, where when there is metastasis, you use chemotherapy because it's systemic. And the procedure for radiation are very sophisticated by such that directed us to eliminate tumor and not cause any damage. Okay, I decided to use the radiation to treat a spinal cord injury.
Can you tell me what the issue is here? Are you complaining about treatment on a grant? Are you, a paper? What is the issue?
The issue is the spinal cord injury, the board here, funded a project in 2008 when there was
That's 11 years ago, right?
What?
11 years ago.
Yes.
Well, we can't,
it's a statute of limitations.
Well, a statute of limitations. We cannot keep going over these things. I'm sorry, I know you feel strongly about all of this, and we all would feel strongly if it was ours.
But you know what? I accept it. I'm going to submit it today. I discovered that it was funded and all the rest just now after the meeting, in the meeting that was in October. That's when I found out.
We heard. Okay, so.
Okay. And I'm going to submit the thing to the Inspector General of the New York State, and we will give it to him, and then we'll conduct and we'll see how the review was conducted and whether you support individuals that are fraudulent. And the
That's a very good approach. That's a very good approach to go to the Inspector General.
Okay.
And by the way, you are not interested, but irradiation to treat what I developed, people that sit here, I published already in 2007. Methods to treat spinal cord injury.
Look, this is.
Without having time and investing in you.
This is something which is unless you want to do what you want to do, which is fine.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We are all going to leave.
To end the meeting.
Yep. Okay.
So we have to.
Thank you very much, but there are people that were injured.
Okay. Well, that's fine. That's fine.
And you never looked at it.
Okay.
And you share the responsibility. There is a method to treat spinal cord injury, and you refuse to listen.
Right.
That's fine.
Okay.
I'm not injured. I couldn't care less.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
So in summary, the board has recommended 7 awards, 3 pre-doctoral and 4 post-doctoral, for a combined total of 3 decimal places, $1.162 million. I'd like to thank you all for helping us make these important decisions. And Vicki, can you summarize very briefly what comes next, because we have to go.
We're going to send the SCURBS recommendations to the commissioner. When he receives them, gives his approval, letters of award or regret will be sent to the applicants. From there, we'll work with the awardee to finalize the work plan and get the contracts executed.
Okay. So can I have
a motion to finish?
Can I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Okay.
A second?
I second.
All right. And I think we can have a voice vote on that. Okay.
Gary?
Yeah. No, we can't.
Oh, he left.
Yeah.
Keith?
I think he's gone.
I think everybody agrees.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thank you.